Welcome to Analytics of Dynasty Patreon podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Saw a tweet online today. It's going to be the article or tweet of the week. It's just a new topic that I'm doing really here, thinking about the things that we see and what's true, what's not. Not necessarily have to flame people, but it's either good or bad, what we can learn from it, what narratives we might exploit, what information we might gather, how we might improve our process. So Drew at DF Bean Counter mentioned this on Twitter, and I've talked to him a handful of times. He says it was actually in response to someone saying a good analyst will not waste a lot of time on Lawrence versus Fields. A good analyst will dig into the diamonds that win you leagues in the second and third round of your rookie drafts. We could debate about league winners at that depth, but I digress. The response from Drew was, if we know the average hit rate for the first round of dynasty rookie drafts is around 50%, I'd say there's a lot more benefit getting those picks right than pretty much anything else you do in dynasty. And I agree getting those picks right. I mean, one thing that I think is a couple of misconceptions about rookie drafts I think are important is the hit rate in the first round of rookie drafts. So I've looked at this a couple of different ways. I mean, I'll compare it against the third round as well, the second and the third round as well. So if you look at the hit rate in 1 through 3, right, so hit rate is quarterback 12 or better, running backs 24 or better, wide receivers 24 or better, tight end is 12 or better in terms of seasonal finishes. That's total points on the season. That's what I measure as a hit. Other people can do it different ways, but I like to do that for reasons I've laid out in the books. I think sample size plus production, I think that's really what matters in terms of looking forward. So the hit rate in the first round for years one through three, 58.4%. And if you take it out another year, it is 62.2%. So, and if you look at top half, so I like to look at that as well. That's, you know, your quarterback top 6 finishes, your running back top 12 finishes, your wide receiver top 12 finishes, and your tight end top 6 finishes. That is 33.6%. So basically, that's in the first 3 years. So that's basically about a third there. So 58% for 1 through 3, that's just a hit. 62% in 1 through 4. Again, that's, I think, a notable thing there. The difference between from year 3 to year 4, right? If the hit rate's not that great there. So if there's a value insulation thing going on there, that's just a notable thing to think about. So okay, second round, when you take a second round, and that does include another rookie class, so it's not necessarily stationary, but you sort of get the point. Second round, the hit rate is 35.7% in years 1 through 3. In years 1 through 4, again, that non-stationarity thing that I talked about, it's just one class, so includes just a little bit more of a sample. It's 36.63%. Top half hit rate there is 19.94%. So one of the strategies I love to think about is, what if we knew nothing, right? Like, what if we wanted to try and improve this by simply knowing nothing? What would we do? Well, you would look at base rates, right? Like, well, what actually succeeds, right? What actually improves that margin? Well, running backs drafted in the first round of rookie drafts, the hit rate year 1 through 3, 66%. The hit rate 1 through 4, 68%. Top half hit rate, 41.2%. Notable increases over that, right? That's improving the hit rate in 1 through 3 by 12%. It's improving the hit rate in 1 through 4 by 6%, a little bit less than 6%. And it's improving the top half hit rate by about 7.5%. Okay. If you look at the second round, this is where it actually gets kind of interesting. Second round running backs perform about on par. So the running backs are performing 34%. If you want to even get it better, right? So if you even want to go further than that 66% in the first round, take out the running backs later than round two, right? So running backs later than round two. So you're taking first and second round running backs with ADPs in the top 12. And in years one through three, 71.8% hit rate. Years one through four, 74.3% hit rate. Top half hit rate in one through three, 48.7. So essentially, if you take a first round or a second round running back that has an ADP in the first round of drafts, it's about a coin flip that they finish with a top 12 finish in the first season. In the first three seasons. That is a very good number, right? And so when you look at this, you say, okay, well, that number went from 33%, basically 33.7% for the entire first round, up to 48.7%, right? So, I mean, you're cutting your whiff rate down from 67 to 52, right? I mean, that's an outstanding movement, right? And so that's one thing about people attacking wide receivers in rookie drafts. This has been a historically bad strategy. And so when you sort of look at this, and, you know, people talk about you should really study profiles and all these things. If you just did nothing, right? if you knew nothing other than what the market gave you, right? Exactly what the market gave you, and just were sort of dumb to the rest of it, you could be hitting it 71% of the time, almost 72% of the time in the first 3 years. In a time where 58.4%, right? That's the hit rate in one through three. You could be hitting at 71.8%. That is a huge difference. And so that's one of the things I would say when you're looking at this. I think it's important to really think about, you know, whittling down your board, thinking about the price, thinking about how you actually structurally and strategically move the numbers, right? That's an example of how to do it, right? And so that's one of the things I think about a lot when people are, and one of the reasons why I'm spending time doing other things right now is because ultimately, right, I think if we get boiled down so deep into rookies, and we can do that, we can go that route, right? We can absolutely go that route. But if we just look at profiles and look at sort of what the base rates, what the rounds will tell you, what the positional structures will tell you at certain points, and sort of use that and leverage that, and we can think about, you know, how do we do that twice instead of once, right? Do those things, that'll really move the needle. And I think that's a really big thing. I would say this isn't a particularly common occurrence, so the number is pretty small, but when there has been a first or a second round running back that's fallen in round two of rookie drafts, the market's actually been on that pretty good. So the hit rate on those is only 14%. So if you were to say, you know, maybe if you were to look at a guy like AJ Dillon, for example, you think, well, maybe the market knows something, right? So, you know, that would sort of be the thing. I don't think that that's true in AJ Dillon's case, but there is, you know, some limited data. I wouldn't take too much from the sample size, but that's a notable difference. So basically, first and second round running backs in round one, right? That's sort of the game plan. And if you sort of have done that, you'd be crushing people. You know, there are some guys in that first round, you know, notably Kamara, who was a target player for me that year. And, you know, one of the first guys I really pressed my chips in for was him that year. He would have actually fallen outside that, right? So that was actually against that. Again, before I did a lot of this research, before I sort of understood rookie drafts the way I do now, or try to understand rookie drafts, I guess. You know, that's going away from the data. You know, if I go back and sort of looked at this, and I sort of think about the past mistakes, you know, if I'm going wide receivers, just picking them randomly, it's 46.3% in the first 3 years is the hit rate, 52.6% for the first 4 years. So you're taking a pretty sizable, you know, you're taking a pretty sizable discount, right, or a sizable drop in hit rate by doing that. And so I go back and think about past classes, and, you know, I think a lot about how we took Brandon Ayuk this year. It's a lot about how like we really try and find pedigree guys that are discounts, right? That we really try and find, you know, guys that we don't pay up for guys. Or if we're going to take a guy in the first round, right, you sort of do the, and I did this. I took Jerry Jeudy, what I would have taken as Jerry Jeudy, and traded him for Justin Jefferson in a second, right? Like, I think the more and more we do that, that's just is leveraging a lot of the uncertainty and just giving us more chips, right? And so I think a lot of this data speaks to that. Are there things that look like sure things? I mean, Corey Davis sure did, right? And that's a class, and I go back on that class, and I like, there was a lot of mistakes that were made, right? Mixing over McCaffrey was inexcusable. You know, especially what I know now, I would have never made that mistake. He would have been, it would have been a two-tier hammer, right? It would have been trade from, you know, honestly, it would have been trade out of one and two, trade to like three, take McCaffrey, and then trade down, you know, again to get to seven and take Kamara, right? That would have been sort of the play. Again, McCaffrey didn't need to necessarily get to three in every league, but that would have been my, you know, if I could go back and do that draft again, that would have been what I would have done. Just based on the data. And again, it would have turned out right. You know, maybe I would have gotten to, you know, with this data, maybe I would have gotten to six or something like that and taken Cook, right? Like that probably would have been a thing I would have done too. Or whoever would have been there. Right? I think it was Cook and there was one other guy that fell in that sort of tier. Maybe it was Mike Williams. Yeah, but when you sort of look at this, right, I think it really opens up, yeah, when you're thinking about a board, right, or we're really thinking about profiles and thinking about players, thinking about a strategy, right? Not just trying to pick players, right? Trying to pick profiles and trying to pick value and trying to build a team and do all these things, right? This is the lens through which we look. And I think a lot about that in these cases. When I see these debates on Twitter, you know, people are trying to change people's mind. That's Jordan of like 3 years ago. Like I was like trying to change people's mind. Now I don't, right? Like I engage in Twitter a lot. Like I do these 15-minute strategy session things. And it's fun, right? It's the back and forth fun. But I don't even try and like convince people anymore. Like, okay, you know, if someone sort of gives me the retort of, you know, kind of goes on and on, I just respond, okay, period, and just move on. But that's one of these cases, right? And so you see, you know, you get to see these things, right? You don't really see folks getting dug in. I think a lot about how the profiles that we can hit, sort of how do we maximize them? And if it's going to be a class where there's not going to be a lot of first and second round running backs, right? If there's going to be a lot of first round receivers, which looks like there may be, how do we, instead of taking, you know, one of these that looks like a sure bet? I mean, I know people are on Jamar Chase, but he didn't really play this year. And there's going to be, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty with that, right? And so when you, right, to say that he's a sure thing, we don't know. And so based on the data and based on, you know, the team building of this, I have a really hard time recommending him up at the top. Right? I know his profile is really good, but there's just so much uncertainty. Why do that to yourself, right? In a class where there's probably going to be a lot of uncertainty, do it twice. Right? Do it twice. Do it three times, right? Take that, whatever it is, the 103 and trade it for, you know, 106, 110, right? And then move down again and do it again, right? Like those are the types of things. I think a lot about how there's a Sam Hinkie, the former GM of the 76ers, did a podcast recently, and they were talking about, you know, how do you do this? And he's like, there's so much uncertainty that you just sort of, you know, you have to be good to your process, and you just have to sort of understand value and range of outcomes and all this stuff. And then he said, but every now and again, there is a Joel Embiid. And that was basically, you know, Joel Embiid was, you know, he pounded the table. He says, we have to take him. We have to figure out a way to do this. We've got to do this. Just because he saw him as a huge difference maker. And I think that is, right, those situations happen. I think those situations should probably be more rare than they are, than they currently occur, right? And there's just so much uncertainty. We have to be very careful about doing that. And so that's really the takeaway I had from this whole thing, because I've been really interested in this, and I've never really written in the Analytics of Dynasty about this particular thing. Maybe I'll include it in this one. I haven't included it in the rookie draft, but now I just sort of did this research. It's interesting right at the end. But yeah, so, and then when you look at, then when you look towards wide receivers, and if you were to sort of say, hey, all right, let's try and take a, Let's try and take away the you know the bad profiles, right? So let's try and be really good on pedigree, for example. You know, we'll be really strong and try and think a lot about being selective, right? And so that would be, hey, let's only take first round wide receivers, right? Let's only take those ones. And that would still be, it's a 50% hit rate, right? So it only moves it from 46 to 50, right? So taking second rounders on the whole has been negative EV in the first round. Taking first rounders is still less than the baseline rate. That doesn't bring you particularly close to the overall hit rate of the round of 58%. So again, if you're taking a first rounder a first round wide receiver in the first round, you're flipping a coin in the first 3 years. It's 58% in years 1 through 4. That actually approaches in 1 through 4. It actually approaches the pretty close to the hit rate of years 1 through 4 total for the round. So that's getting a little bit closer. You know, it's at 58.6%. That's 62% total there. So it does get you a little bit closer if you were to sort of go there. And it actually does approach in terms of top half hit rate as well. So I think really taking those round two guys and being incredibly selective about them in the first round. And you have to really have a really strong reason to take them in the first round. I'd say the other way to think about this too is if it's super flex, we don't have good super flex rookie data going back. There's some that exists. I don't trust it in terms of some of the stuff. It just looks weird to me. And again, I haven't been playing it as long as the data, so maybe I'm just wrong on some of it, but I don't think that I am in terms of some of the assumptions I made, so I just haven't used the data. But if you're thinking about it, right, I would say whatever first round quarterbacks are firmly in super flex in the first round, maybe this year, depending on how the class looks, maybe Trevor Lawrence would be a later first round rookie draft pick, right? So maybe we track the first round ADP on these guys and then sort of use a discount, right? So if there's going to be, you know, one guy and start one ADP going in the first round at quarterback, you know, maybe we, if we're looking at super flex drafts, thinking about, you know, where does the second round designation look, you know, take whatever other quarterbacks go in there, you know, whether it's two, maybe three are going to be first round super flex rookie draft picks. The quarterback position, you know, then bump back the first round. Think about the people that you're using in the first round. Think about that as being, you know, 14, 15, 16, right? Move that back just a little bit as that line, you know, maybe move it back, you know, for every quarterback in there, you know, one spot, or maybe, you know, if there's three, move it back two spots, right? So you think about the first round and start one ADP as like 14 instead of 12 or 15 instead of 12, right? That would sort of be how I would think about it. And you know, so then that'll sort of give you a guide, right? So if someone's in the startup or is in super flex ADP with, you know, there's four quarterbacks going in the first round and they've got an ADP of like 14.4, you can think about that in sort of this historical context. So, all right, well, so that'll pretty much do it. Again, yeah, I like to see these things and these threads and these debates and articles and stuff. It's going to be stuff I'm constantly on the lookout for. So if you see something you think's interesting, you know, send it over my way for sure, because I'm on the lookout for different articles and stuff. I'm going to do a weekly one of these. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.